1 Corinthians 13, we are talking about love in our church. It's a big topic, and it's kind of an amazing thing. I went to Canada, and one of the things I came back is I felt like God said, you know, you guys at River West, you ought to be experts in love. And that's the truth. We ought to be experts in love. Now, I want you to note very carefully, I did not say I am an expert in love. I said that we need to be experts in love. It's a goal. 1 Corinthians tells us to pursue love. That's our goal. And I love this phrase, and the phrase simply says, choose your goals carefully, because while you might not always make your goals will always make you. It's just a handy little phrase. It's true. We choose our goals not because we always achieve perfectly our goals, but whatever it is you're shooting for, it will have a formative effect on your life. What is it? Is your God wealth? Is that your thing? Your goal is wealth? Well, that goal is going to make you. It's going to determine who you are. What is your goal? To be the best at something? Well, that's going to form your life. You may not ever achieve it, but it's going to make you. Is your goal love? If your goal is to be an expert in love, that's a good goal. That goal is going to change your life. It's going to impact you. Last week, in our first week in this study, we looked at the fact that this is the most excellent way. The pursuit of love is the excellent way for us to become more like Jesus, to experience more of Christ in our life, to have a life which is more impactful for Christ, to have a meaningful relationship, successful relationships in our lives, in our marriages, our homes, our families, our communities, our churches. It's great. In fact, everybody agrees that love is the thing. But so often we fail to actually pursue that love. So what we're doing as a church now is we're talking about this, and it's a lifetime pursuit, all right? Somebody said, so what, when you're done in 2 weeks, are we done with love? I mean, what then? Do we go on to truth or what? I mean, shouldn't we just talk about love forever? Well, yeah, actually we should. That's right. But this is a lifetime pursuit. You're going to have to go and work this out in your life. And the beautiful thing about it is that though it's challenging, it's not complicated. It's not complicated. Don't say, oh, I can't do that. It's just too complicated. Forget it. That's no excuse. It's not complicated. You remember last week we looked at these verses, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, is this key paragraph that tells us the nuts and the bolts, the dynamics of love. And it starts out like this. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs. And I'm just going to pause right there to point out what should be obvious to us, and that is that there's these two qualities that lead the way, followed by eight negatives. It tells us all the things that love doesn't do. And what intrigues me about that is it gives me two straightforward, simple qualities up front, and it says these things are love. And this is the epicenter of love right here. In fact, it's really interesting in the Greek language, the way that it puts it. It actually puts it in a different order than the English. It says, love is patient, and then it says, kind is love. That's the order of it in the Greek. And so it sort of brackets these two things with love on each end. And at the very center, it's patient, kind. Love is patient. Kind is love, patient and kind. This should be the epicenter of your life. It should be the epicenter of your thinking. This is practical. Day by day, you should sit down and pursue saying, how can I be a person of patience? How can I be a person of kindness? This is going to be a challenge for your life. Some of us haven't recovered from the sermon last week. It's like patience. We had an elders meeting on Wednesday night, and we sat down, and John Titchell, one of our elders, said, we have to pray. I mean, you talked about patience. He goes, that's really challenging. So we just need to pray about that. Had staff meeting on Thursday morning, and we started talking about love, and Ann Gurney said, you know, what's the deal with love? Why is it so hard? Why does it have to be so difficult? I mean, if it's from God and we're supposed to do it, shouldn't it be easy, really? And then somebody said, well, no, I think it's actually kind of hard. And she pushed back a little bit. She said, yeah, but don't you really think that it ought to be easier? And we actually started getting a little tiff about love at the church staff meeting. We're like, bolt the doors. We're going to work this out. You know, it's amazing but that's okay. I like that. It's going to get us riled up. We're living in the pursuit of this. We haven't arrived. we're going after this, and part of it is just building a framework of understanding. What is it to be patient? What is it to be kind within our lives? I want to give you a picture. I want you to imagine something for a minute. As we talk about patient and kind and what they are and what the difference is between these two things that we pursue, I want you to imagine that the bond that connects us in relationships is like some kind of an invisible and delicate fabric, a fabric that stretches between our hearts and our lives. Just imagine, you can't see it, but between all the key relationships in your life, there's this little invisible fabric. It goes out from you, goes from your heart to their heart, and it's there, but you just can't see it. And I want you to imagine this, that this fabric can be cut or torn. It can be worn out by the stress and the friction that comes with life and an imperfect world. That isn't so hard to imagine, is it? What does the fabric look like of your relationships right now? The fabric of your heart then connected to other people. If we could take a snapshot of that, would you find that that fabric was strong and sure? Would it be worn and frayed, tattered, perhaps cut to pieces, or maybe even hanging by a thread? That's going to be our image for the morning. I just want you to think about that. Love is patient and love is kind. What's the difference between patience and kindness? Think about the fabric illustration for a minute. We defined patience and we said that patience means putting up with the hurts and the disappointments that come in relationships with imperfect people. You put up with them. You endure, you forbear, you're willing to go through the sort of the pain and the disappointment and the hurt that comes in relationships with these imperfect people. Think about the fabric illustration for a minute. Patience is that which keeps the tear from getting worse. It's that which keeps the thread from unraveling anymore. Patience in many ways is about what we don't do more than what we do. Why? Well, because when you're dealing with an imperfect person, what happens? When they hurt you, what happens? You get mad. You get angry. You want to lash out. You get frustrated. You want to say things you shouldn't say, and often you do. You want to take actions that are stupid, and often you do. And those are the things that make the tear worse. They're just ripping to shreds the relationship. But patience doesn't do that. Patience says, you know what, I feel the tearing of this, and I'm not going to do anything to make it any worse. And I'm not going to pull out. You know, the person who doesn't have patience, a lot of times they just get out the shears. You know, they're like, it's hanging by a thread, and they go, see ya. I can't take it anymore. And they're just out there with a chainsaw, you know, just. But the person in patience says, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be committed to this relationship. I'm just going to hang on. I'm just going to wait. I'm just going to see this through. That's what patience does. Kindness picks up where patience leaves off. Now think about this. Patience, in a sense, isn't really building anything. It's not really mending anything. It's just keeping the tear from getting worse. But kindness, by definition, is doing that which is constructive. So here's the definition of kindness for you. Love is patient. Love is kind. Kindness means to do something that will build. That's basically what it means, to do something that will build. By implication, that will build into the relationship or build into that person's life. That's what kindness does. What I want you to hear this morning, it's very, very important, is that it is kindness that mends the torn fabric of our hearts and of our relationships. It's kindness that is the sewing kit of God's Spirit. He comes in and he works through those acts of kindness and he reverses the course of those tears and he mends the fabric. And that's why we have to pursue love. You have to pursue love, folks. And don't we live in a stressed out world? Do you know that stress is the enemy of love? Stress is the enemy of close relationships. Let me put it to you like that. When people get stressed out, they usually don't operate at their best. When people get stressed out, they freak out, and they become impatient with each other, and they start tearing apart relationships. We live in a society that is filled with stress. Your life is just filled with stress, I guarantee it. It's just the way that it is. And that's tearing at relationships. What are you going to do? Patience and kindness, you're going to have to build into that relationship. My idea, my image for this message today came from a journal entry. I went through some journals before I went to Canada because I'll take my journals that I've, in years past, I always go up there and I write things of what I think God's showing me. So I was looking through these journals trying to find the Canada journals. And I came across a journal which wasn't a Canada journal. It was just some random journal that I had. And it was recording an event that took place on vacation a few years ago with Maureen and I. We're on vacation and we're in a nice place. It's sunny. We're relaxed. Everything's beautiful. We're by the ocean. And evidently, there's a problem. Because I'm picking this up between the lines. And there's a problem here, and I'm writing about this. There's stress. Okay, we're stressed out. We're on vacation, but we're stressed out. Does that ever happen to you? You get away, you know, it's like, yeah, well, we got away, but we actually did go where the relatives were. Stress. And there's only so much time on the vacation, and we actually each want to do different things. So you have to make a decision of what we're going to do. Stress. There's only so much money to spend on this thing, and we're going into debt. It's like, you getting the plastic out again, honey? You know, should we spend that much money? So here you're on vacation, and what happens? All the stress factors, relatives, time, decision-making, money, they're right there. And so we're stressed out, and all of a sudden there's this tearing happening of the fabric. And so we were stressed out. Now, one of the things that in our relationship that I appreciate a lot is that we tend to not tear the fabric worse. So, like, if we're stressed out and we get in the car and we just start saying mean things to each other, all right, then that's going to make it worse. And that has happened. But generally, we try to avoid that. It's not name calling. It's not labeling. You're a jerk. You're this, you're that, you're the other. That does not happen. Okay. That's not patient. Love is patient. Okay. Here's a pastoral word of advice to you. Shut up. Just shut up. All right. Don't talk. Zip your lip. Be quiet. Be patient. You know, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it. That's not in the Bible, but it's good. That's good. That's golden. All right. Just shut up. Well, what are you thinking now? What are you thinking? You know, I'm just going to think about that some more. I don't know. I'm thinking. I really don't know what I'm thinking right now. I think I'll just be quiet for a while. That's patient. Now you're not tearing the thing anymore, but you haven't built anything. You're just at a standstill. See, kindness takes over where patience leaves off, and it actually builds something. So I have this journal entry from this little time of tension, and it says something like this. I've doctored it just a little bit for this one. So. This is my journal. I mean, come on. Today, Maureen reached out to me with a gesture of kindness, and that act was the defining moment of our shared life for this day. Amidst all the ups and downs, the push and pull, all the tiny tearings and the cautious mendings, that moment of kindness shined on all the rest like a sun in the sky, steady and life-giving to the end. That was my little note to myself, and I totally forgot about this. I thought, I remember that. It brings something back to me. But there's a phrase in there that just got to me. And it's this phrase that says, all the tiny tearings and the cautious mendings. And isn't that a picture of life? Isn't it a picture of relationships? Isn't it like every day? Isn't it full of the tiny tearing of the stress, of the selfishness, of the brokenness of our lives and our world? And it just tears at the fabric. Sometimes it's not tiny tearings either. Sometimes it's huge, massive ripping that takes place. But almost all mending is cautious because it takes a risk. It takes something to step out, to go past just, well, I'm just being patient, I'm just doing nothing, I'm not going to do the wrong thing, to saying, okay, I'm going to do something. That's where kindness takes over. Kindness does something. It does something. It's that simple gesture. It's that act of kindness where somebody steps over a line and says, I'm moving in here. And that kindness is what actually mends the fabric of our relationships. It is life-giving. You becoming an expert in that in your life? That's what we need to do. Become an expert. Pursue it. Much time and energy as you put into all this other stuff in your life, put energy into this. The pursuit of love, patience, kindness. How can you be a person of kindness? This morning I want to share with you, I want you to think about some of the dynamics of kindness. Now remember, kindness, the Phillips translation says love is patient and love always finds a way to be constructive. That's a great translation because it builds. It's going to build something and bring something into this equation. How do you do that? This is your task. This is your job as a human being, as a follower of Jesus Christ. This is your task. Always find a way to be constructive. Go with me to Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to learn some of the dynamics of kindness. Philippians chapter 1. There's a little prayer that Paul prays about love in this chapter. And it's really, really a great prayer. I pray it often. I pray it for my life. I pray it for you as a church. It goes like this, Philippians 1:9. This is my prayer, that your love might abound more and more. That's my prayer. Because that's what we need. We want to be experts in this thing. We've got to do it. It's all important. That your love might abound. But in what? It doesn't say in emotion, in feeling. It says that your love might abound in knowledge and in depth of insight. Knowledge and depth of insight so that you might be able to discern what is best and be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. It's a great prayer. It's a prayer for love. You know, Philippi was a tough place to be a believer. It was a very stressful place to be a Christian. Philippi was one of the cities in the ancient world, one of the few cities, which was an imperial city. And what that means is that they had a special allegiance and an arrangement with Rome. Roman Empire, right? The Roman Empire, this monolithic thing of power. And so certain cities would align themselves with Rome, and they had all the rights of a Roman citizen. They had a lot of clout with the Senate and all that type of thing. So it was unpopular in an imperial city to be anything but a person who was totally on board with Rome. All the business practices, the businesses were aligned. They had guilds that were like the Rome club and all this type of thing. And you get on the inside of this and pledge your allegiance to Caesar. And then you were inside. If you weren't, it's hard to do business there. So much so that when Paul went to the city of Philippi to preach the gospel, he couldn't even find a synagogue there. There weren't hardly any Jews in this town because it's hard to be Jewish there. It's hard to be anything except for a full-on, dedicated to Rome person. Now, the believers are not, because they're saying that Jesus Christ is Lord, and it was hard. So Paul refers in Philippians to the enemies they had at the end of chapter 1, those who are against you, those who are trying to terrify you, because it was tough. And then because of the stress, what happened? They were at each other's throats and the fabric of their relationships was unraveling. You see in chapter 2, he begs them to get along with each other, to be humble and to think of each other and what's best for the others. In chapter 4, he talks to these two women and he begs them to get along with each other because the stress of living there was unraveling the fabric of their relationships. So what does he do? He prays for love. And in his prayer, he tells us what is needed, and that is, he says, knowledge and depth of insight, that you might know what is best. So here's what I believe about kindness. I believe that kindness means this. It means that you are attentive, that you pay attention. It means that you're smart so that you figure out what is actually best. And I believe that it means that then you take action, you're proactive to do that. Love abounding in knowledge and depth of insight. In other words, you see what's going on. You're observant. You're attentive. You're insightful. You look around and you go, oh, I see what's happening here. Kindness can only act if it's attentive first. How attentive are you to the relationships, to the people, to the dynamics? How attentive are you to that?
Well, not much, but they ought to pay attention to me.
We'll get to that next week. How attentive are you to this? The kindest people I know are the most observant. You ever notice that? The kindest people are the most observant. They just notice things, you know, and then they do them. You know, they notice them. But they're just, you know, you meet people all the time that know a lot of stuff, but they're not very observant, which is kind of my problem. I mean, really, where I fall down on the love kindness thing is a lot of times I just don't notice what's happening. I'm living in my head somehow. Now, if you walk up to me with a 2x4 or a bat, you go, boom, Pastor Guy, I got a problem, and this is it. And what do you think? Well, we can have a darn good discussion about that, you know, and I can give you some wisdom. But it's the attentive part. If you're not paying attention, you can't be kind. How attentive are you? You know, being a parent is a great school of learning to love. Both sides of the equation. Patience, kindness. Patience, kindness. It's a life thing. It's amazing. It always works. Being a parent is a great school of this. I was thinking about this last week, you know, the patience, kindness thing. When you're a parent, you have your first child. And the little bundle of joy arrives, and everything is glorious. And then all of a sudden, you start learning about patience. You know, you're like, oh my gosh, there's a lot to this. You know, there's all night long. And then there's the diaper thing, you know, which I won't go into because my first child is here. But I'm telling you, there's patience. And then there's the kindness part of it is being attentive to what's happening. And as a parent, you learn to listen. Like, okay, what does that cry mean? What does that sound mean? Well, what does this mean? And you're watching and you're listening and you're growing in attentiveness. And then what do? Once you become sensitive and attentive to what's happening, the next thing is you go, well, what am I supposed to do? Knowledge. Maybe you go read books. Maybe you go online. You know, they probably have all kinds of neat websites for new parents now that give you all the download on exactly what to do, you know, every minute of your day type of thing. You know, you consult the experts. Why? Because to do something constructive, I got to know what to do. And then you got to do it. It's really a pretty simple formula. Pay attention. Figure out the best thing to do. Do it. That's kindness. Now, do you know that it doesn't always mean doing what the person wants? Like if your kid comes and says, I just want more and more and more ice cream. If you're kind, this is manipulation. If you're kind, you know, give me whatever I want. Well, that's not kindness. What's the best thing to do? How are you going to know that? Here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to prayer and you're going to ask the Lord to give you wisdom. Sure, consult the experts, read the books, do all that. And then you pray and you ask God for insight into what am I supposed to do right now. I love this. That your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight so that you might be able to discern what is best and be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. To discern what is best. Isn't that tough to do sometimes? I mean, how do I know what the best thing to do is? Well, have you really prayed about it? Have you really seriously prayed about it? Are you really concerned about the best interest of that person? Have you prayed about that? Until you are as concerned or more concerned about the well-being and the best interest of that person than you are about your own pain and hurt and disappointment, you're not really ready to act in kindness. So pray about it. Lord, let my love abound show me the right thing to do in this situation. Somebody came up to me after the first service and they said, I just want to clarify something. They said, I have been on the receiving end of somebody who really thought they were being kind to me because they knew what was best for me. And they do that a lot. And it bugs the heck out of me. It's like they know they're the expert. I'll tell you what's good for you, and I'm going to do it, whether you like it or not. Well, we can do that, too. This isn't about taking a parent-child relationship with everybody around us, and I'm the expert. All right. Be attentive. Be prayerful. Are you listening? Are you really listening? Not just to your own pain or disappointment or hurt or expectations or whatever. Are you really listening to that person, to what's going on in their life, to the relationship dynamics? You say, well, it's even more complicated than that. Somebody else, you know, was sharing with me, they have a very complicated situation in their life because it's not just one person. It's like, well, I have this relationship here and it's really torn. But it also affects these people over here. And so this is very complicated. I know. It is. Advice is the same. Pray. First of all, don't do anything dumb. Don't freak out. Don't freak out. Stop saying mean things. Don't do that. Stop. Patience. Second, pray. Read the word. Talk to people, get wisdom, and come to a conclusion. What is the best thing for this person, this relationship? And then pick something and do it. Just do it. Take action. That's the cautious mending. That's the step. Do it. Now, if you'll do this, you're going to learn and grow in love, and it's going to be awesome. In fact, it will change your life, and it will change the world. It really will, because that's what love does. It's excellent. Let me give you a really simple device that you can use to do this. Now, this is going to seem really weird to you, but this is real. You get yourself a yellow pad. And this is my yellow pad. It says two words on it, patient and kind. And across the middle of the thing, it's just a line there, all right? I get my pad and I draw a line right across the middle. I actually do this. And I write in the top the word patient, and then I write kind underneath it. And then here's what I do. Now, I have to admit I only do this when I really freak out. All right, when I'm freaking out and I get my yellow pad out, you know I'm freaking out. And I'm writing a line across it. You better just leave the room. If you see me get the yellow pad and go, just see ya. We'll get back to you. And so I do this, and I think love is patient, love is kind. That's the whole ballgame. There's nothing more than that. That's everything. There's a life of wisdom and learning and challenge right here. Love is patient, love is kind. So here's what I do. I get my pad out and I start writing under patient the reality of the situation as I see it. And a lot of times there's a lot of hurt involved in that, or disappointment or anger or whatever, because love is patient. You don't have to be patient with perfection. You only have to be patient with people who are messed up. In a messed up world. So love is willing to start with reality, not idealism. This is reality. We're messed up. We're messed up. How do you feel about that? Really angry. And I don't understand why this person is such a screw up. And I would like to... But I'm not going to, because I'm patient. And so I'm going to write it on here instead of doing it or in saying it. I'm going to write it on my pad right here. No one is to see this pad but me. I'll destroy it afterwards. And I'm writing this here because I'm dealing with reality. Love is patient. I don't want to tear the fabric anymore. I don't want to do anything stupid. And so I'm just putting this down here and I'm bringing it to the Lord. All right. Do you want God to do something in your life or not? An exercise like this will tell you, because you know what? When I don't want God to do anything, I don't get the yellow pad out. I'm not doing that exercise. That's stupid. I'm not doing that, because if I do that, I might have to change or God might say something to me. So do you want to or not? So I get this out and then I bring it before the Lord and I just pray. And I say, Lord, this is how I feel. This is where I'm at. This is the way it seems. And everything is messed up and we live in a broken world. and I'm disappointed and angry, and I'm not sure what to do, and it's all right up there, and then I just pray. And I think it through, and then here's what I do. And here's where kindness takes over, where patience leaves off. God wants me to move over that line. I have to move over that line into kindness, to where I'm going to do something constructive. Right? There's a lot of hurtful things to do. What are you going to do that's going to help? That's what kindness is. So now I'm praying about all of that, and oftentimes there's a lot of little fine writing and exclamation points and different things on there. And then I take all that, and I say, God, from all of that, and in prayer and in the Word, and maybe I've talked to other spiritual people that I respect, I'm going to decide on a course of action. I'm going to do something. It may be something that I say. It may be a letter that I write. It might be an action that I take. And I'm going to do something that I feel is helpful and constructive towards this person's life in this relationship. And on the kindness section, there might be just one thing there, just a very short sentence, just one thing that's going to happen. And I pray, Lord, give me the strength to do that. I'm just going to try to go down this road. And that's my plan. That's my plan. Now, listen, folks, if you do this, it's going to radically affect your life. It really is. You're going to grow. It is an excellent way for you to grow in your faith in Jesus Christ. Why? Someone said, well, it's difficult to do this stuff. Yeah, I know. Go to the Lord. Love will cause you to go back to Christ. And where are you going to learn to love? Okay? My home, my family I grew up in wasn't the model of love. Take notes on how to love. It wasn't that. So where are you going to learn to do that? You're going to learn it from Jesus. Jesus is going to teach us how to love. And He will. Now, here's something that's profound. Okay? I'm forewarning you. Jesus is alive. And He is actually at work in people's lives. Jesus is doing something right now in every life and in every situation. Jesus is doing something. You know, there's that bracelet, what would Jesus do? Well, we should have one, what is Jesus doing? Because He is doing something. Jesus is loving that person and that situation. He is doing something there. And my question is, Lord, what are you doing? Because I want to get in on that. What are you doing in this person's life? How can I be involved in that? And here's what happens. As you start moving in that direction, the Lord comes alongside. He comes right alongside you. And He'll enable you to walk with Him in kindness. Not only will God use you to touch someone's life, but the Lord Jesus will draw near to you in you doing this, and you grow closer to the Lord. Here's a fascinating use of the word kindness. It's the most unusual that I've found in the New Testament. It is Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Now, this is amazing. You never would know that the word kindness was hidden in this passage. It's the same word that's used in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is kind. Exact same word. You'd never know it was here. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, we're looking for the word kindness. The word kindness appears in this passage in the Greek, but it doesn't translate very well in the English, so they've chosen another word to use instead. And it is in verse 30. Jesus says, for my yoke is easy. And in the Greek it says, my yoke is kindness and my burden is light. Isn't that interesting? He says, come to me, you weary and you burden, and I will give you rest. You know who's weary and burdened? It's everybody who's trying to love. Anybody who's ever tried to love, you know? It's like, man, that's a challenge. Boy, that's hard. That's really something, you know? I think I'll just check out and watch the tube instead. That's tough. And we live in a burdened world, and it's filled with stress. Jesus says, come to me. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Learn from me. You want to know what to do? Want to know what's helpful and constructive? Jesus, learn. Just walk with me for a while. Learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is kindness. My burden is light. The yoke was used, of course, and is used in the world today to yoke together animals, pulling animals, oxen and whatnot. Yoke them together, and they walk together, and they do the work together, the combined strength. It is the yoking together of animals, or in this case, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. What is Jesus saying? He says, I'm going to walk with you. When you come into a relationship with Jesus, there's a fabric of your relationship with Jesus. There's an invisible bond of the Holy Spirit that ties you together with Jesus Christ. And you're connected to Jesus Christ, and it's that yoke. It's that more than a thread. It's something there, and you walk along with Jesus. And you know why it's good to walk with Jesus and why it's easy to walk with Jesus? Because He's kind. He's patient and kind. And Jesus is attentive to you. He knows what's going on in your life. He's watching you. There isn't a hair on your head. He doesn't know it. Jesus knows. And not only that, He knows what's best to do. And He's at work in your life. And so it's easy. You go, I could walk with someone like that. It's awesome. His yoke is kindness. Now Jesus says, learn from me. And what we find is Jesus is yoking us together now with other lives. We're walking with Jesus. We're walking with others. Here's Jesus. Here's my wife. Here's Jesus. Here's my family. Here's Jesus. Here's my family of faith, my Christian brothers and sisters. Here's Jesus. Here's my community, my friends. We're in these intricate series of relationships, and Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Walk with me. My yoke is kindness. Now you extend that kindness to others. Be attentive. You watch me. You watch the others. You learn from me what's best. You bring that into the lives of others. It's powerful. And this is the most excellent way to grow with the Lord. He'll empower you if you choose to do it. He will empower you. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's amazing. It's wonderful. I mean, what if a church was just filled with kindness? What if it wasn't only in response to when there's a problem and now I have to be kind? What if it was more just like, what can we do that's constructive? What can we do to build? What can we do to bless? And you just became experts in that. And you just actually did stuff that was really, really great and awesome and useful in people's lives. And it was all because of Jesus. That's what love does. And it's amazing. The Lord wants us to pursue that. Let's pray about it. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the depth of your love to us. You've been patient with us, Lord. We ourselves have been guilty, Lord, of ripping and tearing at the fabric of relationships and hearts and lives, Lord, that's for sure. The unkind words, Lord, and the selfish actions. Some of us are hanging by a thread. I thank you, Lord, for your patience with us and your kindness, Lord. You don't abandon us, but you come by your Spirit, Lord, and you graciously build us up, you instruct us, you guide us. Now may we be like you, Lord. We pray, Lord, for the grace and the wisdom to follow through in relationships, to build, to construct, to know what's good and best, and to follow through and do that. So please, Lord, help us to grow in love. May our love abound yet more and more in knowledge and depth of insight so that we might always know that which is best and be filled with the fruit of righteousness in Jesus Christ. Please, Lord. Lord, I hope and pray that in days, weeks, and years to come, that the story that will be told of River West will be a story of love, of lives that are really changed and loving in homes, in church, in friendships, in the community. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up together. Let's sing a song. And I go, okay, here comes the Christian part right now, the Jesus part. I'm going to pray. And a lot of times I don't want to. Have you ever been like you don't want to pray? Because you really don't want to pray because you want to hold on to the anger. You know if you pray that you're not going to be able to do what you really want to do, so you just don't pray. This is where you pray. You pray. You get down on your knees, you know, with your yellow pad and Jesus, and you pray. And you say, Lord, you need to help me to be patient. You need to help me with this because I really feel this. And then you tell God about your feelings and you do all that. Now, here's the golden moment, because love is patient. But kindness picks up where patience leaves off. When you cross the line into kindness, there's only one question that you ask. What is the best thing for this person right now? What is usually the best for them is the best for the relationship. What is the best for this personal relationship right now? And I'm going to write under kind on this part of the sheet an action step. And what's really interesting is that you can take all the stuff on this patient thing, and what you'll end up is distilling an issue or a problem or some sin or something that's wrong. And it might be in you. Or it might be in them. It might be in the situation. But, you know, you're taking an honest look at our broken world and our broken lives, and you're distilling all that, and you're saying, okay, God, based on that, what's a positive step that could be taken right now in this relationship that I can do to build something? And oftentimes, there isn't as much written under the kind box as there is up here, because it might be just that kind gesture. And it might be a lot. But it's beautiful. It's amazing. Now, we do this all the time. I'm going to come back to our children. We do it all the time with our children. You can be frustrated as a parent raising kids. And you're like, oh, my gosh. And then you go, but I got to figure out what to do. I got to do something. I got to do the right thing. I got to do the positive thing. You're praying. You're seeking. You're thinking. And you say, well, we'll do this. That's kindness in action. That's saying, we're going to do this. We think it's the best thing to do to build something in this life and in our relationship. And then you go do that. It may be the right or the wrong thing, but you do that because you're pursuing love and you're trying to do that. And that's awesome. We do it all the time. But here's the deal. What if God wants us to do that same thing in all our relationships, not just that parent-child relationship? What if he wants us to do that in all our relationships? Not that you're the parent and they're the child either in all relationships, but just that process of saying, God wants me to be kind. I'm not going to bail. I'm going to stay, and I'm going to figure out something to do here. And then you do it. What if you became an expert in doing that? How would that mend the fabric of hearts and lives and situations? Who should we do this with? Go to Book of Luke. Let me find my reference here. We are going to go to where are we at? There's Luke on the overhead. Just put it up there. Let's see what we come up with. Because I've lost my place. What do we got? Keep going. Where is it? Luke. Luke 6. Darn. I'm slipping. Luke 6. Go back to the start of that thing. Luke 6, I'm going to start in 27. I tell you the truth. You hear me. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks. If anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. And here's where I think I started the overhead. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because, and here's the phrase, He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. He is kind. And that's the same word as in Corinthians. He's kind. I mean, the whole summary of that whole passage is he's kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. He's kind to them. Verse 32, if you love those who love you, but let's just insert, if you're kind to those who are kind to you, well, what good is that? If you build into the lives of those who build into your life, what good is that? If you're attentive to the relationships and the people who are attentive to you, what good is that? Because love is kindness is being attentive and proactive and doing something constructive. What good is that? See, everybody does that. The distinguishing mark, the thing that will change the world is if you do this in relationships everywhere. And that's what God does. That's what he does. It's amazing. And so, boy, if you think we had a hard staff meeting last week, wait till this week. It's hard. It's challenging. But we're supposed to pursue love. How are we going to do it? Galatians 5:22, it tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love. And it gives us a list of the things that is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Kindness is in the list. It's the fruit of the Spirit. What will happen? I want to give you one final verse this morning. I'm running out of time. Matthew chapter 11. This word kindness is used several times in the New Testament, and this is the most fascinating use of it to me of all in the New Testament. Matthew 11 and in verse 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's a great passage. The word kindness appears there. It's the same word that's in Corinthians, same word that we just read in Luke chapter 6. And it is in verse 30, for my yoke is easy, and the word easy is the word kindness. But it's, I guess it doesn't translate. My yoke is kindness. My yoke is kindness. My burden is light. Isn't that interesting? My yoke is kindness. Why is it easy to walk with Jesus? Because he's kind. You're yoked together. The yoke would yoke together these, you know, two animals that would be pulling something. They'd be yoked together. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Jesus says, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to be yoked together with you. You know why it's very cool to walk with Jesus? It's because he's loving and kind. You walk with Jesus and Jesus is looking at you. Jesus is attentive. Jesus knows what's best. Jesus is proactive. Jesus is focused on you and he's walking with you. And that's awesome. His yoke is kindness. It's beautiful. And it's easy to walk with Jesus. And now Jesus is yoking you to others. He yokes you to people. He yokes you to people in marriage, in family, in church family. There's a fabric. We're connected together. And the yoke must be kindness. The yoke must be love. It must be this proactive, insightful, prayerful saying, God, what can I do that's constructive? And it will change our lives. I want you to pursue this. Oftentimes when people call me and they're having difficulty and they want to know, what should I do? What should I do? Because this other person's being a real idiot. What should I do? Should I do this or should I do that? And oftentimes my answer to them is, it really doesn't matter so much what you do until you care as much or more about the well-being of that person than you do about your own pain. It doesn't matter. And this is what we're learning right now. Do you care about the well-being of that person? Yeah, but they're a jerk. I know. And so are you, but I didn't say it. Do you care about the well-being? Because that's what love does. Pray about that. And this is kindness. Pursue patience, kindness. Let's pray. Father in heaven, You're awesome, Lord, and you're kind to us. I pray that we can learn the nuts and the bolts of this, Lord, this the practice of it. That we can figure out ways, Lord, to actually be patient, to be committed to imperfect relationships, to stay there. But, Lord, not just to stay, but to build. May we learn to seek you in such a way that we can know what's best. Show us even today, Lord, what's best. I pray, Lord, that people will get out their yellow pad and that they'll write down patience and kindness and that they'll pray through what's best, what action step can I take that's best right now in this relationship for this person. And do it, Lord, with your blessing. And when they do, Lord, they're going to find your yoke right there by them, walking with them. And so please, Lord, let us know what it is to walk with you in this love and this kindness. And may it mend the fabric of our lives, Lord, and the fabric of our church and our community. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.